Flavio Tito is an Italian name. I was born in Italy and I came to this country at the age of 6, where I lived in Birmingham for about 20 years. And now I'm in Bristol studying sculpture. Soon I'm going to Norway, where I'm representing England in an international sculpture symposium, carving huge granite rocks. And you might think, what's unusual about that? The thing is, I'm totally blind. I remember the last thing I saw was the other car coming towards us, and it was just a quick bang, and I lost my sight straight away from there. I think it was up to the social worker. It would have been a piano tune. No way. I wanted to be an artist no matter what she thought. So here I am, the artist.
Some time ago, I was contacted by Markus Weissen of the RNIB. He proposed that Flavio may be interested in taking part in the granite carving symposium in Norway. In fact, it turns out Flavio is going to be representing England, Great Britain, in fact, at this symposium.
I'm probably slightly nervous, which we expected of anybody, I think, to do such a thing. I mean, I'm still a student, and you know, I've never worked in that kind of scale, or I've never worked in that kind of material before. You know, it's more I'm frightened to get it right, you know. I mean, for me, it's the challenge. For me, it's the trying. And for me, probably winning. If not, I'll make sure they invite me again. But so it's kind of frightening to that point. To the other point, it's exciting.
The first symposium started in Austria in 1959. It was a group of sculptors wanting to break this more academic tradition. Sculptors always working inside, in the academies, in their workshops. They wanted to work directly in stone, and the right place to do this was in the quarries. So they found an old quarry, and I think they were 10 or 11 sculptors from different countries, and ever since there have been symposiums all over the world. Flavio could already handle hammer and sickle very well when he came, but he also tried some new machines here. Some air tools, bush hammer tools for air pressure, and also bush hammer for hand. I think it was rather new for him, but he handles it very well. It's no problem, and it's amazing to see how good he can work with these tools.
It's nice.
I like The first hurdle was to find a stone that was going to be suitable for my sculptural idea. So I spent about 2 days walking around the quarry area.
Very nice. First, when he came, we were surprised that he managed very well climbing around here in this quarry and touching 10, 11 pieces of stone and trying out to find his right form. And I also followed him 2 days, and it was amazing to see how he were climbing around here and did it very well.
I eventually found it, and once that was found, I remember feeling a sense of, I've done something, I've got something.
Change my mind.
Yeah, I understand that.
I went that one. And that first step was taken, yeah, the stone was found. For me, it was just that kind of feeling, it had to feel right, and it was about feeling right. I didn't care what anybody else said or anybody else wanted. It just had to feel right, you know. It felt right for me. Felt right. For a while.
Oh, yes. A little bit.
And then the worst came in. There's a big hurdle to climb later. Massive hurdle.
I push down.
Ow.
Yes.
Push.
I think.
I'm getting old, Tudor.
You're falling down.
Yeah.
Oh, you can see a little bit.
Huh?
You can see a little bit.
I can what?
Yes. You heard me?
Sorry?
Yes.
It's a nice one.
Yes, it's very nice.
I just knew it couldn't be a square block. Yeah. It couldn't be a circle, it couldn't be an oblong, it had to be the shape. I like this stone. Could do something.
Yes,
with
I think you like it.
But also, I was kind of deceived, I think, because a lot of the scale of the stone was hidden underneath, so I couldn't really judge the size. And until it came out, and you know, when it came out, it was big. I just knew it was the right one.
That's good.
I should jump.
You can. I think you can
nice
feel
stone,
it.
Now.
It was a really nice stone from the beginning.
It's very nice.
And he got on with this tape around this stone and touching it all over. And already when the tape was on the stone, it was a really strong expression. And I think it's gone even better and better after he has been working on it and changing all the time. I couldn't say how it will be. But it's a really good piece of work, a really good sculpture. You cannot say it's a good sculpture made out of a blind person. It's a really good sculpture anyway.
Looking at the piece itself, I can't say that it was easy. I couldn't get it the way I wanted it a lot of times. It was almost like, what's the word I could sort of use? It was almost fighting back. You know, the harder I tried, the harder the stone sort of became. It's about 3 weeks into the piece, and I think it was at that kind of point that I'd lost my idea. I'd lost the identity of what I really wanted to go for. I just felt it became a mass of nothing, rubbish. So it really sort of kind of frustrated me. And there's loads of times I just could have cried, I think.
I wouldn't come to this idea of marking out these contours like he did. I think it's a fascinating idea to go into the stone. And I think also the other sculptures here are really fascinated in the way he's working, also his ideas. I think it's a very special sculpture.
The idea I had about it was like when I was back at college, I got interested with the idea of form and linear structure. I don't know if there's a piece of stone. Yeah. We can look at a form, you know, we look at this stone and see it has a form. it's there. But you take your finger along, it also has a structure, a lineal structure, as it goes across. There. You see? So the whole idea of my piece was that you'd look at this boulder and you'd see this form, but you wouldn't see this structure. And it has a structure because these contours, very shallow maybe, and it was up to me sort of to bring this shallow structure out of the stone, but still maintain the form within, you know, tactily, and I've heard visually it works. You know, it has eventually got there.
It was surprisingly to see how this strength of the original stone even got stronger. It could be a problem for sculptors working in big dimensions and also in these raw blocks. You can make the stone too nice. You can destroy it. It's very nice when you start on it and it can get smoother and nicer and you can totally destroy it. But I think he has made this stone even more stronger. And that's the most difficult thing about stone sculpture. Not to lose what you have from the beginning and even add something quite new to it. I think he has managed that. He's very secure. Perhaps because he's always touching, he has very good conscience in his hands. And that's the thing it's about when you're hammering sizzling. You cannot look at it, you just have to feel it. So he feels it in his hands, and then he's doing it the right way. I think the people coming here as visitors, they pass him and they cannot see that he's blind. I tell them about the sculptures here, and I tell them there's Flavio, and he's a blind sculptor. Blind sculptor? They don't believe it. And they look once more, and well, he's working like all of the others.
Hello.
Oh.
I have wandering around your stone, and I'm really in love with the stone.
The stone? Yes. Okay.
How much?
Maybe 30,000 kronas.
Yeah, that's not so much.
No.
I hope you can
get
customer really pay, because this stone is one of the most beautiful works I have seen as sculptor.
Michelangelo.
Yeah.
Michelangelo.
Don't you? I think I'm fall in love.
Yes, with this stone.
And that's.
No, not with me, but with the stone. Huh?
Well, maybe so in the transmission. Why not? People have to
you like
be
the stone, yeah.
More involved with each other. When you touch this and feel the stone spoke to you. Yes, it's very, very, very good work. I never seen a stone work like this. For me, it's like he have written something in the stone. So it's marvelous.
How does it speak to you?
It speak even when this is a hard stuff. He is so soft, like shum. It's very soft, like if you touch your body. So it's have to take touch on your body. And the stone is even warm. Even that's almost autumn and we have some bad weather, a little bit cold, but the stone is warm. Yes, I like it. And I can stand a man who without eyes are possible to work so correctly, and so I think his finger is really looking for him. And his message go to my heart. That's true. So I like it very much.
For me, this sculpture sort of connects something very old. I have some pictures in my mind of Neolithic sculptures or small stone pieces, but it's also something very new, very open. And I can also figure it being placed in a landscape. And it's just being there as perhaps it has been there all the time since this stone was created 250 million years ago, or something like that. It's just there. It's very strange. It's perhaps something which I've seen before, but also something quite new. I think it's that's the thing about good art. You recognize it in some way, but you don't know where you've seen it.
I saw this stone from long distance, and I was longing for to go to this stone because it was so interesting, even in long distance. So it's really a stone who spoke to at least me. Maybe I can buy it. It's a dream.
Why didn't you buy it?
Well, maybe I could do. But so long time's work you have to pay. If not, you should have to pay. And I am serious. I hope he gets some who buy it so many, many people can look at this stone, because it's worth it. It's really art.
We have been talking about placing this sculpture down on the place called Ula, where this Larvikit mountains goes into the sea, where it's washed down and also formed from the glaciers. And we have been talking about it. Flavio has been there several times, and he wanted to put his sculpture down there to give it to this place. It's also a very nice sculpture for children to climb on, and when they're bathing there and going out in the water and then climbing and sitting on the stone out afterwards, it's also a very nice thing, I think. I think that's a very good idea to put it there.
Not this one. You like the big one?
This is the one.
Here, well, yes.
There's a nice stone that I first wanted when I got here, and it's a big, big, big piece. But Tudor, the foreman, told me that there's too many cracks in it, and it was a difficult kind of piece to work. But I still find it interesting. So there's the possibility that I come back and take this stone, split it, the stone, work on it, and then put it back together again, which is going to probably take a lot longer than sort of the 3 months that I had here. I'll probably do that when I come back, because it's a lovely piece of stone.
You must write your name.
So nobody touches, eh?
You must,
Okay, Tudor.
Okay. Big.
Mine, okay?
Yes. You can see.
Slavi. Oh, okay.
Okay.
It's my Flavio. Don't let nobody touch it. Don't let me touch it, Tudor.
Yeah. No, you have stone next year.
Yep, the big one.
But you must come to back next year.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very nice.
15 tons.
15 tons, around there, yes. Too big?
Nope.
Not too big?
Too small.
Too small. It's 20 tons. I can find this 20 ton stone.
No,
it's but okay, too big.
That's
yes.
Nice.
We drive the stone, it's too big. It's 15 tons, it's okay.
It's nice.
Yes.
I can do big.
Yeah.
I'll make it for your house. Tolong's the quarry owner himself. And I recently asked him if, you know, how what would the cost of shipping certain stone to back to England, because I heard it and you can get stone back at a good price as well. So when I asked him, I said, well, how much is it though? And so I think he kind of looked at me and he says, well, it's going to be expensive. I kept thinking to myself, oh God, it's going to cost me a fortune here. This. I was just going to turn around and say, forget it. And he says, well, 1 krona? And so I looked at him and said, well, can I have a discount instead? 1 krona is something like about 2 pence, I think. So he's basically, it's a really nice gesture of him. He's offered me the stone and he's going to ship it back to England for me, which is, oh, it's great, you know. So I'm hoping to work with this stone back in England, do something with the stone for my degree show next year. Oh, I think because I was blind, I was probably more determined. I just wanted to do it more. After so long working with it, nearly 3 months, I reckon I could see that sculpture a lot more than anybody else. I mean, every day I touch it, every day I have to work by touching it. So I see it a lot more clearly than anybody else does. Even sighted, I mean, people could just look and think whatever they like, you know. But they would never see it the way I do. Never. I think I still hate it. I think the piece for me is a very, very strong piece. I mean, the more I look at it, the more strong it is. But I think throughout, when I'm reflecting back on everything, I think I had a love-hate relationship with this stone. At the moment, I got probably a sense of love for it. But who says tomorrow, I'll probably hate it, you know. It's kind of a love-hate. But I'll never deny that it's mine, because it is mine, so I'm proud of it that way. But, God, it sounds like a father talking about his son. Well, he's been in jail, but I don't mind, you know. I'll never deny he's my son. I'm proud. Pleased. The pleased father. Baby's come home at last. The thing is, it's worked. It's happened, you know. What I wanted in the beginning is here. Yeah. I'm not going to come back to it ever again. You can stay on your own now, you're grown up. Yeah, it's all right. I still feel I'm not bothered by getting my sight back at all. I'm quite happy being where I am. It's nothing you can't do. I'm not saying it on my, just, you know, because of me or whatever. I'm not concerned about getting myself back. I'm quite happy. I've often said it to loads of people. And, I mean, even me sitting here now, and I think, well, I wouldn't be here now if I wasn't blind. I wouldn't be here at all. Probably lost somewhere, trying to look for a job.
La vie.
Oh.